everyone. My name is Eden Richardson, and thank you so much for joining in on today's online sermon. We hope that it blesses you and encourages you and challenges you as you listen. Please be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay up to date on all future online sermons as well. Thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing you here in person soon.
When you hear the word legacy, what comes to mind? Just think about it a minute. What word, what phrase comes to mind when you hear the word legacy? And I'm going to give you an opportunity to share with me out loud what comes to mind, the word, the phrase. Are you ready? Tell me loudly so I'm hard of hearing. Tell me loudly. What comes to mind when you hear the word legacy? Grandchildren. What? Heritage. What's left behind. Okay. Legacy can take a lot of different forms. For instance, when our son Stephen was born all those years ago in Sumter, I took a blue and white Kentucky basketball to the hospital and put it in the bassinet because I was not going to let the Gamecocks and Tigers corrupt him. I was passing on the legacy of Big Blue, okay? And we're doing that with the grandchildren. I mean, it's just, that's part of legacy, right? You pass on your sports fandom. And when one of your kids or grandkids pulls for your hated enemy, it's all you can do to keep the family together. It's just tough. That's part of legacy. The word legacy at its root is a bequeath. And it's primarily associated with money. People talk about a legacy gift. That's a significant financial contribution someone makes to an institution, say a university, a foundation, even a church. It's a legacy gift. We also have what's referred to as legacy students. Some of the so-called premier universities in this country, if they have a prominent alumni graduate, and that prominent graduate has children or grandchildren who wants to attend that university, they are legacy students, and sometimes they'll get a hand up just because of who their parent or grandparent is and their attendance there as a legacy student. May not seem fair, but that's how the world works a lot. There are legacy recruits when it comes to sports. I mean, think about the Manning family, for those of you who like football. Started years ago with the grandfather, Archie Manning. I can remember as a little kid listening to the radio as Archie Manning played quarterback for the Ole Miss Rebels, All-American, ran around like a fast wide receiver. You couldn't tackle the dude. He was a great player, played 14 years in the NFL, 11 of them with the hapless Saints. You couldn't change teams back then the way they can today. He was stuck on a bad team, but he was a great quarterback. And his two sons, Peyton and Eli, great careers in the NFL. Peyton with the Colts and Broncos, played in 4 Super Bowls, winning 2. Eli with the Giants won 2 Super Bowls. Think about that. You're a dad. You're an All-American. You had a 14-year NFL career, and you have 2 sons who play quarterback in the pros, and they each win 2 Super Bowls. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's a legacy. And now his grandson, Arch, the son of his third son, who was also a great athlete and had a scholarship to college but had an injury that derailed his career, is now probably going to be this coming year the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns, coming out of high school, the number one recruit in the country. Sports legacy. Athletic legacy. What I want to talk about in this sermon series for 4 weeks is none of that. I want to talk about legacy as a heritage. A legacy of love. A legacy of faith. Maybe you've received a great legacy. Legacy of faith. What are you doing with it? And are you going to pass it on? Maybe like me, you did not receive a legacy of faith. You need to start one. Because you can't pass it on until you start it, because you didn't receive one. What I want to do these 4 weeks is look at the lives of 4 men in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And we're doing that because we are currently in our Bible reading plan and in our D groups reading the book of Genesis. So I thought I'd take 4 weeks and just look at the lives of these men who were not perfect, but whom God used. And see what we can learn each week about legacy. And we're going to learn something different from each one of them. Today we're going to look at Abraham. Because the truth is, and I've titled this message this, legacy, a great legacy, has to start somewhere with someone. Every great legacy has a beginning. Needs to start somewhere at some moment in history with some individual. We're going to learn about that from Abraham. Genesis chapter 11. Let me see your copy of the Word. Do you have it with you? God's Word. Hold it up. All right. Genesis 11. We're going to read starting at verse 27 through verse 3 of chapter 12. And let me just say, some of this is going to be mundane. This is some genealogy. And some of you hate the genealogy in Scripture. And preacher, why are you reading this genealogy? And here's the reason. Listen to me. Here's the reason. You cannot understand Abraham's legacy, what it was, and how he started it, if you don't understand his family dynamics. If you don't understand the context and the culture of his life. Because legacies are not started in a vacuum. They are created in the context of our existence, where we grew up, our experiences, the world in which we live. You create a legacy in a very real setting. And so did Abraham. And by looking at his context, at his family dynamics, we're going to learn some important things about creating a legacy worthy of being passed to those who come after us. Genesis chapter 11. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready, church? All right, we're at verse 27. Verse 27. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram. Later in Genesis, Abram's name is changed by the Lord to Abraham. Terah is also the father not only of Abraham, but of Nahor and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Later in Genesis, Lot, we read about him as Abraham's nephew. Abraham is his uncle. Haran died, Abraham's brother. He died in the presence of his father, Terah, in the land of his birth, in the land in Ur of the Chaldeans. That would be in what was later known as Mesopotamia. Today it would be in modern Iraq, to give you an idea of where we're talking about. Verse 29, Abraham and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. Later it was changed to Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah and Iscah. Man, a lot of details. Verse 30, Sarah was barren. She had no children. Verse 31, Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, Abram's wife, and the son, Abram's wife, I can't see here. There we go. And they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans. By the way, sometimes these TV lights, the glare gets me and I can't see my spot. It just happens occasionally. So you won't think I'm going blind or crazy. They went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. Haran is north of where they live, kind of north into the west a little bit. You have what was called the Fertile Crescent, because between Mesopotamia and the Promised Land, like between Iraq and Israel, is a desert. Makes up a big part of Jordan today. It's a desert. They wouldn't cross that. They would go north. And they got up there so far, about halfway to Haran, and they settled there for a little while. And in verse 32, the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Pick the story up in chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. Notice this. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, Abraham, here known as Abram, started a great legacy. You and I are the beneficiaries of that legacy. He was more than a father, more than a grandfather, more than an uncle, more than a husband. He was the father of a new people group, if you will. He was the originator of a new nation, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And his people group, his descendants, his nation played a pivotal role in God's eternal plan to bless all of humanity by sending the Messiah, Jesus Christ, centuries later. That's a pretty significant legacy. Because we have faith in Christ and are disciples of Jesus and have been saved and forgiven and have eternal life through Christ, God accomplished that in part through Abraham's faithfulness. The legacy that God created through his life blesses us even today. And over the centuries, whenever the Jewish people would begin struggling as a nation or struggling in their walk with God, the prophets would ask them to look back to the beginning. A few centuries after Abraham, when they were struggling, the prophet Isaiah did that about 700 years before Jesus. And in Isaiah's book, in chapter 51, when they were struggling, God is speaking. Now notice this. Here's what God says through the prophet. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn into the quarry, from which you were dug. You ever seen a rock quarry? You know, just big old hole in the ground or the side of a mountain where they dig out stone. He's using this image to say to the Jewish people during a time of struggle, look back. Here's the hole from which you were dug. Here's the rock from which you were hewn. Here's the quarry from which you came. What is that place that you came from? It's Abraham, your father. Look to what God did in his life. The call of God upon him and his faith and his obedience and what God's purpose was for him, because God's purpose for Abraham is his purpose for you. And the prophets would remind the people of God over and over and over, remember the legacy he created, the legacy you have received, so that you don't let it die. A great legacy has to start somewhere with someone. A great legacy, and I'm going to suggest a legacy of faith. It's a great blessing. It's a great, beautiful, wonderful thing for you to leave to those who come after you. Legacy of faith is a beautiful thing for you to receive from those who came before you. And I know that some of you received that kind of legacy. Going back to your parents or grandparents, or for a few even beyond that. Beautiful legacy of faith. What are you doing with it? Are you polishing it? Are you passing it forward? Or are you tarnishing it? Now, some of you are like me. You didn't receive a legacy of faith. I didn't. Everything dramatically changed for my family when my sister and I as teenagers were saved and started going to church. Some of you have not received a legacy of faith. In fact, some of you have received a pretty bad legacy. Addiction. Had someone come up to me after the middle service this morning in tears, telling me about his dad who started a new legacy because his dad's father was an alcoholic and a gambler who made him wasted and lost a lot of money, and dad had to leave to start a new legacy. Some of you have received something like that, and you don't want to live in that, and you don't want to pass that on. You want to start a new one like Abraham. Some of you have inherited a legacy of broken relationships. Parents, others who don't know how to make relationships work. Maybe abuse, selfishness, laziness. It could be a whole lot of things. And you don't want that to be your life. You don't want that to be your legacy that you hand off to those who come after you. You, like Abraham, are wanting to start a new legacy. And I'm here to say to you, through Christ, you can. You can. You don't have to pass on a bad legacy that you received. You can start a new one, pass it on. But if you've received a good one, polish it. Make it better. Pass that on. So what I want to do is simply share with you three requirements for passing on, for creating and passing it on a great legacy that we learn from the life of Abraham. Are you ready? Here's the first lesson. Here's the first requirement to create a great legacy you can pass on. To start a great legacy, you must break with the past and with the status quo. If you're going to create a great legacy because you did not receive one, you have to make changes. You have to make some breaks from the past. Break from some of the status quo. You can't, if you want to start a great legacy, but you've received a bad one, you can't just keep passing on what was given to you. You got to break some things. You got to change some things. Abraham left his country, the only place he'd ever lived. All the culture, all the traditions that were part of it. He left the security of knowing what life was like there. Left his extended family and his friends as he moved to a new place. There was a change in his way of living because in Ur of the Chaldeans, he and his family who had been there apparently for some time, they were established. That was their home. They had a way of living. But when he moved to the promised land, to Canaan, according to the book of Genesis, Abraham spent the rest of his life living in tents. Not a house, as a nomad. The only piece of property Abraham ever owned in the promised land, he purchased when his wife Sarah died. He purchased a field with a cave so he could bury her. And that was it. That was a real change. That was a real break in the past, from the past. But let me say to you, Abraham's most significant break from his past, from his status quo when he moved, was none of the things I just mentioned. The most significant break in Abraham's life was religious. It was spiritual. A few centuries after Abraham, the Jewish people had grown into a large population. They'd actually migrated down to Egypt, been slaves, and then God sent Moses and delivered them, and then Moses dies, and Joshua leads them into the promised land. So we're talking a few hundred years after Abraham, and God is speaking to the people through Joshua. Joshua is about to die in this last challenge to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people in the promised land. Verse 2 up here on the screen, Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." Here's what God says, notice this, "from ancient times, your fathers." You see, for them, in the days of Joshua, it had already been a few centuries. And this is centuries before Jesus. So in ancient times, going all the way back to the time of Abraham, notice what he says here. "From ancient times, your fathers lived beyond the river, the Euphrates River, over in Mesopotamia in modern Iraq, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Namely, Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor." And notice this, "they served" what, church? Look at it. What did they serve? What? Loudly, what did they serve? Other gods. Abraham was lost and going to hell. Abraham was not worshiping God. He was worshiping a pagan idol. We know it was the moon god, known by the name Nana or Nanar. About 100 years ago, they were excavating the area of Ur of the Chaldees there in Iraq, and they uncovered a temple to this moon goddess. The British Museum in London today has artifacts from that area, artifacts associated with the worship of that moon goddess. That was Abraham's family. That was his relatives, his neighbors, his friends. That was Abraham. They worshiped other gods until God miraculously intervened and changed his life. Notice it goes on to say in verse 3, God is speaking. He says, "Then I spoke to your father Abraham from beyond the river." God intervened and Abraham's life was radically changed as he met the creator of the universe. And he's the reason his family, Terah, his dad and others, came to faith and moved. God spoke to Abraham. God changed his life. And folks, listen to me. You can't pass on a significant legacy of faith if you've not had your own encounter with Jesus Christ. Legacy of faith is more than just going to church. More than being religious or being Baptist. It's a transformative experience with King Jesus. And if you're going to start a legacy of faith, you need to have that. If you're going to pass one on, you need to have that. Your own encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our family, our whole pattern as an extended family changed when my sister and I were saved. None of us knew Jesus. None of us went to church. And now today most do. But it starts with hearing the Lord and responding. It's a new legacy. So let me ask you, what do you need to leave behind? What do you need to part from? And maybe what good legacy have you received that you've let tarnish a little bit, and today you realize you need to polish it up so you can pass it on better than you received it? That's the first lesson is you may have to make some breaks, some changes. Here's the second lesson real quick. To start a great legacy or pass on a great legacy, you need a faith that obeys God. And notice I didn't say simply faith. Because too often in our culture, we define faith as how you feel, what you think, what you believe. But biblically, faith, if it's real, always shows itself in action. In obedience. God said to Abraham, go. What did he do? He went. How do we know he's a man of faith? By what he did. He believed God and what God said enough to act on it. That is biblical faith. Up top, the guy's running projection. I want to skip ahead to Hebrews chapter 11. Because God did not show Abraham everything all at once. Notice what happened here. It says, by faith, Abraham. So he had faith. When he was called, he heard God, he obeyed. By faith, when God spoke, Abraham did what, church? He obeyed. How did he obey? By going out, by leaving, by moving, making a break. By acting. To a place he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out. Notice this, he went out not knowing where he was going. How many times do we say, God, if you would just tell me more, show me more, just God, let me know how it's all going to turn out. God, you're asking this today, but God, I'm concerned about what you might ask of me a year from now. And unless God lays it all out in a blueprint or on a roadmap, we struggle to move. See, we need a faith that shows itself in obedient action simply because God says, take this one step. So we take it because we trust Him enough that we believe, like the book of Proverbs says, that He will direct our steps. He will guide our path. We don't have to know the destination. We just have to know who's leading us. If you want to create a great legacy, you need that kind of faith that obeys. I started preaching when I was 17 years old. Most Sundays thereafter, I was preaching somewhere. I missed the senior prom because I was preaching a revival. But I got to tell you, when I was all excited and preaching, and God was calling me and I was preaching in those days, I'd never heard of Rock Hill, South Carolina. I didn't know this was a dot on the map. And I never thought I would spend my adult life living in South Carolina. I just knew God wanted me to preach. Rest was up to Him. And I share that with you simply to say, God will take care of you. Stop waiting for God to show you your whole life plan before you obey Him. Because I got news for you. God is never going to show you everything at one time. He wants to know, do you trust me enough to start walking? And you want to create and pass on a great legacy, then that kind of faith that obeys will do it. Hesitation. Fear will not. Third lesson. To start a great legacy or pass on a great legacy requires a willingness on our part to be a blessing to others, not just to be blessed. To be a blessing to others, not just to be blessed. Let me ask you a question. Why did God move Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans there in Babylon, Mesopotamia? Why did God move him all the way over to the promised land of Canaan? Why did God do that? Was it just to give Abraham a new place to live? Was it just to bless him with a big family and wealth? Was that it? Back in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, which we read a few moments ago, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will make your name great. I mean, here we are all these centuries, millennium later, talking about Abraham. I will make your name great. I will make of you a great people, a great nation, and I will bless you. Well, God did that. Even though I said Abraham only owned that one plot of land, Genesis makes it really clear. Abraham became a very wealthy man. Very powerful and respected, in fact. And he had a large family and descendants and a nation. God blessed Abraham. Does God bless us? Absolutely. Do we get to enjoy the benefits of God's blessings in our life? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But hear me. God did not bless Abraham just for his own happiness and joy. Just to be blessed. And neither does God bless us just so we can be blessed. That is a shallow faith. Quit listening to those kind of preachers on TV, people. God blesses us and we enjoy those blessings, and it makes your life so much better. But I got news for you. God blessed Abraham and God blesses us so we can be a blessing. God said to Abraham, not only am I going to bless you, but Abraham, hear me, you will be, Genesis 12, 2, you will be a blessing. And in verse 3, Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth, hear that, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That happened when Jesus was born. Every family, every human being of every ethnicity, of every language, is blessed with the opportunity of knowing God. God blesses us, and we experience the benefits of those blessings. And He wants us to enjoy the benefits of those blessings. But He wants us to see that His work in our lives is always bigger than just us. That we are to be a blessing to His kingdom. We are to be a blessing to the world. We are to be a blessing to other people. Over there on that wall, we exist to love God, love people, make disciples. The two great commandments, according to Jesus and according to the Old Testament, are to love God with all your heart and then love others, love your neighbor like yourself. You don't love others when you keep all the blessings of God to yourself and your kids. He blesses us to be a blessing. Driving to church this morning, I was thinking about my mentor, Bill Mackey, who died a couple of years ago. And partly on my mind because my home back in the mountains has had severe flooding again like they did 2 years ago. Not quite as bad, but still very severe. Happened last night. And I remember Bill, who baptized and ordained me and mentored me. And then Joe Brown followed him as pastor at that church in the mountains of Kentucky. And I remember Joe saying to me one time, he said, "Steve, I never witnessed anybody in Letcher County Bill Mackey not already talked to." And I was thinking about those families, people my age and younger and some who are older and dead now, who met Jesus through that ministry, and their families are in church and they're serving Jesus and they're loving Jesus and their homes are different. But way back in the 70s when that ministry was taking place and he was building his legacy, none of them were in church. None of them knew Jesus. And his legacy, much bigger than his kids and grandkids. In fact, part of his legacy is anyone that I've had any kind of positive spiritual impact on. So that's what God does. This selfish American Christianity that is just about me and mine, it's so unbiblical, so unchristian. Does God want to bless you? Yes. And does He? Yes. But never just for your sake. And that's how you create a legacy. Because a legacy is going to reach well beyond just your family. It's going to touch other parts of the world. Because this is God's world and He loves all the people in it. That's how He works. And I want to leave a great legacy for my kids and grandkids and so on. But I pray to God it's bigger than them. It would be so disappointing if my only legacy is for my own family. That would be heartbreaking. That would be disappointing. It needs to be something bigger than that. And so does yours. So what are you leaving behind? What do you need to change? What break do you need to make? What good you've received do you need to polish and pass it on better than you received it? The invitation this morning is for you to spend time talking to God about your legacy. And where you go from today.